Chapter 3, Land Use Controls. Regulation. Land use is regulated by 1. Public and private restrictions. 2. Federal, state, and local governments. Government control. Most government controls on property occur at the local level. Police power. It is the inherent authority of the states to create regulations needed to protect the public health, safety, and welfare. Through enabling acts, states delegate to counties and local municipalities the authority to enact ordinances in keeping with general laws. The increasing demands placed on finite natural resources have made it necessary for cities, towns, and villages to increase their limitations on the private use of real estate. There are now controls over noise, air, and water pollution, as well as population density. Home rule. Article 7 of the Illinois Constitution allows for home rule units of government. Any municipality with a population in excess of 25,000 in any county that has a chief executive officer, elected by the people, are automatically home rule units. However, a home rule unit may elect by referendum not to be one. On the other hand, a municipality of fewer than 25,000 people may elect by referendum to become a home rule unit of government. Townships are not allowed to be home rule units. Constitutionally, a home rule unit of government may exercise any power and perform any function pertaining to its government, including the exercise of police power by way of laws that control the use of land. If any ordinance of a home rule county conflicts with any ordinance of a home rule municipality, the municipal ordinance prevails. Township zoning ordinances must give way to county zoning ordinances. Townships are not empowered to pass subdivision controls or building codes. The Comprehensive Municipality Plan. Local governments, municipalities, and counties establish development goals by creating a comprehensive plan. The Comprehensive Plan, also known as a master plan, is not a regulatory document but rather a guide to planning for change rather than reacting to proposals. The Comprehensive Plan usually is long-term, perhaps 20 years or longer. A general plan that can be revised and updated more frequently. Plans for specific areas. Strategic plans. Systematic planning for orderly growth consists of the following basic elements. Land use, that is, a determination of how much land may be proposed for residence, industry, business, agriculture, traffic and transit facilities, utilities, community facilities, parks and recreational facilities, floodplains, and areas of special hazards. Housing needs of present and anticipated residents, rehabilitation of declining neighborhoods, as well as new residential developments. Movement of people and goods, highways and public transit, parking facilities, and pedestrian and bikeway systems. Community facilities and utility, schools, libraries, hospitals, recreational facilities, fire and police stations, water resources, sewage and waste treatment and disposal, storm drainage, and flood management. Energy conservation to reduce energy consumption and promote the use of renewable energy sources. The preparation of a comprehensive plan involves surveys, studies, and analyses of housing, demographics, and economic characteristics and trends. A given municipality's planning activities may be coordinated with other government bodies and private interests to achieve orderly growth and development. Zoning. Zoning is a regulatory tool that helps communities regulate and control how land is used and limits the type of business in a given area. Zoning ordinances are local laws that implement the comprehensive plan and regulate and control the use of land and structures within designated land use districts. If the comprehensive or master plan is the big picture, zoning makes up the details. No nationwide or statewide zoning ordinances exist. Rather, zoning powers are conferred on municipal governments by state enabling acts. State and federal governments may, however, regulate land use through special legislation, such as a scenic easement, coastal management, and environmental laws. Zoning affects such matters as permitted uses of each parcel of land, lot sizes, types of structures, Building heights. Setbacks, the minimum distance away from streets or sidewalks that structures may be built. Style and appearance of structures. Density, the ratio of land area to structure area, and protection of natural resources. Zoning ordinances cannot be static, they must remain flexible to meet the changing needs of society. Zoning objectives. Land is divided into zones. The zones are identified by a coding system that outlines how the land may be used according to the code. Common zoning classifications include C4 commercial, R4 residential, A4 agricultural, M4 manufacturing, B4 business. There are subcategories in the classifications, and some land may be zoned for mixed use. A planned unit development, PUD, is a development where land is set aside for mixed-use purposes, such as residential, commercial, and public areas. Zoning regulations may be modified for PUDs. Zoning ordinances have traditionally classified land use into residential, commercial, industrial, agricultural. These land use areas are further divided into subclasses. Residential areas may be subdivided to provide for detached single-family dwellings, semi-detached structures containing not more than 4 dwelling units, walk-up apartments, high-rise apartments. Some municipalities also use buffer zones to ease the transition from one use to another. A buffer zone is typically a strip of land separating land dedicated to one use from land dedicated to another use. For example, landscaped parks and playgrounds and hiking trails are used to screen residential areas from non-residential zones. Certain types of zoning that focus on special land use objectives are used in some areas. These include bulk zoning or density zoning, to control density and avoid overcrowding by imposing restrictions such as setbacks, building heights, and percentage of open area, or by restricting new construction projects. Aesthetic zoning, to specify certain types of architecture for new buildings, and incentive zoning, to ensure that certain uses are incorporated into developments, such as requiring the street floor of an office building to house retail establishments. Constitutional issues and zoning ordinances. The ongoing question is how a local government can enact zoning ordinances that protect public safety and welfare without violating the constitutional rights of property owners. The government provides a forum for the citizens to discuss zoning ordinances before they are enacted. These are called public hearings. Any land use legislation that is destructive, unreasonable, arbitrary, or confiscatory usually is considered void. Furthermore, zoning ordinances must not violate the various provisions of the state's constitution. Commonly applied tests in determining the validity of ordinances require that power be exercised in a reasonable manner. Provisions are clear and specific. Ordinances are non-discriminatory. Ordinances promote public health, safety, and general welfare under the police power concept. Ordinances apply to all property in a similar manner. Taking. The concept of taking is similar to eminent domain in that it comes from the Takings Clause of the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The clause reads, "Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation." Payment is referred to as just compensation, compensation that is just and fair. The compensation may be negotiated between the owner and the government, or the owner may seek a court judgment setting an amount based on appraisals. In general, no land is exempt from government seizure. Zoning permits. Compliance with zoning can be monitored by requiring that property owners obtain permits before they begin any development. A permit will not be issued unless a proposed development conforms to the permitted zoning, among other requirements. Zoning permits are usually required before building permits can be issued. Zoning Hearing Board. Zoning hearing boards, or zoning boards of appeal, have been established in most communities to hear complaints about the effects a zoning ordinance may have on specific parcels of property. Petitions for variances or exceptions to the zoning law may be presented to an appeal board. Non-conforming use. Frequently, a lot or an improvement does not conform to the zoning law because it existed before the enactment or amendment of the zoning ordinance. Such a non-conforming use may be allowed to continue legally as long as it complies with the regulations governing non-conformities in the local ordinance or until the improvement is destroyed or torn down or the current use is abandoned. If the non-conforming use is allowed to continue indefinitely, it is grandfathered into the new zoning. Real estate licensees should never assume, nor allow their clients to assume, that the existing non-conforming use will be allowed to continue. Buyers should verify with the local zoning authorities the conditions under which the use is allowed to remain or whether changes are permitted. Conditional use permits and variances. Conditional use permit, zoning category existed before a zoning change variance. Current zoning is being changed to conditional use permit, also known as a special use permit, is usually granted to a property owner to allow a special use of property, defined as an allowable conditional use, within that zone, such as a house of worship or daycare center in a residential district. For a conditional use permit to be appropriate, the intended use must meet certain standards set by the municipality. A variance, or exception, on the other hand, provides relief if zoning regulations deprive an owner of the reasonable use of the property. To qualify for a variance, the owner must demonstrate the unique circumstances that make the variance necessary. In addition, the owner must prove that yes, he is harmed and burdened by the current regulations. Any such variance is said to run with the land, meaning the exception is passed on to any later owners after a change has been made. Both variances and conditional use permits are issued by zoning boards only after public hearings. The neighbors of a proposed use must be given an opportunity to voice their opinions. Building codes and certificates of occupancy. Building codes. Most municipalities have enacted ordinances to specify construction standards that must be met when repairing or erecting buildings. These are called building codes, and they set the requirements for kinds of materials and standards of workmanship, sanitary equipment, electrical wiring, fire prevention, and similar issues. Building permits. In addition to adhering to building codes, a property owner who wants to build a structure or alter or repair an existing building usually must obtain a building permit. Through the permit requirement, municipal officials are made aware of new construction or alterations and can verify compliance with building codes and zoning ordinances. Inspectors will closely examine the plans, conduct periodic inspections of the work. After final inspection, the municipal inspector issues a certificate of occupancy or occupancy permit. Subdivision and AMP, land development. Most communities have adopted subdivision and land development ordinances as part of their comprehensive plans. An ordinance includes provisions for submitting and processing subdivision plats. A major advantage of subdivision ordinances is that they encourage flexibility, economy, and ingenuity in the use of land. A subdivider is a person who buys undeveloped acreages and divides it into smaller lots for sale to individuals or developers, or for the subdivider's own use. A developer, who also may be a subdivider, improves the land, constructs homes or other buildings on the lots, and sells them. In a new residential subdivision, developers usually pay the costs to provide new water, sewer, streets, curbs, and sidewalks. Developing is generally a much more extensive activity than subdividing. Land development plan. Before the actual subdividing can begin, the subdivider must go through the process of land planning. The resulting land development plan must comply with the municipality's comprehensive plan. Although comprehensive plans and zoning ordinances are not necessarily inflexible, a plan that requires them to be changed must undergo more complicated hearings. Plats. From the land development and subdivision plans, the subdivider draws plats. A plat is a detailed map that illustrates the geographic boundaries of individual lots. It shows the blocks, sections, streets, public easements, and monuments in the prospective subdivision. A plat also may include engineering data and restrictive covenants. The plats must be approved by the municipality before they can be recorded. Once a plat is properly recorded, it may be used as an adequate description of real property. A developer is often required to submit an environmental impact report with the application for subdivision approval. This report explains what effect the proposed development will have on the surrounding area. Plat maps are increasingly available for viewing on the internet. Subdivision plans. In plotting out a subdivision according to local planning and zoning controls, a subdivider usually determines the size as well as the location of the individual lots. The maximum or minimum size of a lot generally is regulated by local ordinances and must be considered carefully. Most subdivisions are laid out by the use of lots and blocks. An area of land is designated as a block, and the area making up this block is divided into lots. Subdivision density. Zoning controls often include minimum lot sizes and population density requirements for subdivisions, which restrict the average maximum number of houses per acre that may be built within a particular subdivision. This average is called gross density. Clustering for open space. By slightly reducing lot sizes and clustering them around varying street patterns, a divider can house as many people in the same area as could be done using traditional subdividing plans, but with substantially increased tracts of open space. Private land use controls. Not all restrictions on the use of land are imposed by government bodies. Certain restrictions to control and to maintain the desirable quality and character of a property or subdivision may be created by private entities, including the property owners themselves. These restrictions are separate from and in addition to the land use controls exercised by the government. However, no private restriction can violate a local, state, or federal law. Covenants, conditions, and restrictions, CCANDAMP, RS. These are private rules set up by the developer that set standards for all the parcels within the defined subdivision. CCANDAMP, RS are enforced by the homeowners association. Unlike most deed restrictions, many CCANDAMP, RS have time limitations. For example, a restriction might state that it is effective for a period of 25 years from this date. After this time, it becomes inactive or it may be extended if approved by the required number of owners. Many developers also include methods by which a required number of homeowners may change a CCANDAMP. R. Restrictive covenants are usually considered valid if they are reasonable restraints that benefit all property owners in the subdivision. That is, they protect property values or safety. Restrictive covenants cannot be used for illegal purposes, such as for the exclusion of members of certain races, nationalities, or religions. Private land use controls may be more restrictive of an owner's use than the local zoning ordinances. The rule is that the more restrictive of the two takes precedence. Private restrictions can be enforced in court when one lot owner applies to the court for an injunction to prevent a neighboring lot owner from violating the recorded restrictions. If adjoining lot owners stand idly by while a violation is committed, they can lose the right to an injunction by their inaction. The court might claim their right was lost through laches, that is, the legal principle that a right may be lost through undue delay or failure to assert it. In Illinois, any restrictive covenant that forbids or restricts conveyance, encumbrance, occupancy, or lease on the basis of race, color, religion, or national origin is void. Exceptions to this section of the Illinois Human Rights Act are allowed for religious and charitable organizations. Regulation of land sales. Just as the sale and use of property within a state are controlled by state and local governments, the sale of property in one state to buyers in another is subject to strict federal and state regulations. National Interstate Land Sales Full Disclosure Act. The U.S. Congress created the Federal Interstate Land Sales Full Disclosure Act to facilitate regulation of interstate land sales and to protect consumers from fraud and abuse in the sale or lease of land. The Act required land developers to 1. Register subdivisions of 100 or more non-exempt lots with HUD, and 2. Provide each purchaser with a disclosure document called a property report. The property report contains relevant information about the subdivision and must be delivered to each purchaser before the signing of the contract or agreement. The report must disclose specific information about the land, including the type of title being transferred to the buyer, the number of homes currently occupied on the site, the availability of recreation facilities, the distance to nearby communities, utility services and charges, and soil conditions and foundation or construction problems. Right of rescission. Under the Act, the purchaser has the right to revoke any contract to purchase a regulated lot until midnight, on the seventh day after the contract was signed. If the purchaser or lessee does not receive a copy of the property report before signing the purchase contract or lease s, he may bring an action to void the contract within 2 years after signing it. Exemptions. The Act provides a number of exceptions. For instance, it does not apply to subdivisions consisting of fewer than 25 lots or to those in which the lots are of 20 acres or more. Lots offered for sale solely to developers. Lots on which buildings exist or where a seller is obligated to construct a building within 2 years. Misrepresentation or failure to comply with the Act's requirements subjects a seller to criminal penalties, fines and imprisonment as well as to civil damages. State, subdivided land, sales laws. The sale or promotion within Illinois of subdivided land is regulated by the Illinois Land Sales Registration Act of 1999. This act regulates the offering, sale, lease, or assignment of any improved or unimproved land divided into 25 or more lots and offered as a part of a common promotional plan. Under this legislation, subdividers must register with the state, file a full disclosure report containing information on the land, location, tax status, financial arrangements, and liens associated with the offering. As in the federal statute, in Illinois, a purchaser who receives the report prior to signing a contract or agreement may cancel the contract or agreement by giving notice to the seller any time before midnight of the seventh day following the signing of the contract or agreement. A purchaser in Illinois who does not receive this report before a contract or agreement is signed may cancel the contract or agreement any time within 2 years from the date of signing.